Hey there, welcome to the Healthy Vibes podcast. I'm Kelly Renato, and today we have a great conversation with Melissa Gray, who is an attorney with the Law Spot. It is a super resourceful conversation, and she gives us so much needed insight into protecting our creative products, copyrights, trademarks, estate planning, starting a business, and even juggling entrepreneurship and family. She shares information and action that many of us should be taking, but usually we're unsure as to how to start. So Melissa is a valuable resource, and I think all of you will enjoy listening in. Here we go. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
So I'd like to start just because you have such an interesting background of your experience and then what you've been doing now for the last year or how long you've started. If you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Absolutely. So I am, let me go back. I had an undergrad in international affairs. And I hesitate because it really meant nothing, because it basically meant I was going to go to law school. So that's what I did. And so I've been a lawyer since 2011. I was licensed. But my first jobs out of school were in the intellectual property space. So I help business owners with their trademarks, copyrights. I'm not a patent attorney, but the boutique I worked for did service all of those pieces of intellectual property. And then when I had my first child, I went in-house at a large manufacturer and distribution company and stood up their legal department from scratch. So they were a billion-dollar company that had just sort of come up through acquisitions of little mom and pop distributors around the country, and they really were scaling and needed to get their compliance and risk and legal matters handled. So they needed to form a department. So I was there on the ground with another partner of mine, and that was a really, really educational experience and sort of put me on my like business owner general counsel path. And then I got an opportunity to go back to the firm that I was a young associate with after that as a partner. And so I led the intellectual property practice as a partner for my last few years there. And then I got the itch to start my own firm. And 7 months ago, I launched The Law Spot, which is a full service business law firm to help entrepreneurs and startups, focus on their businesses, and I handle the legal for them. So that's what I'm doing now. And it's been a journey.
That's exciting. So intellectual property and you said, trademarks, copyrights, all that's really interesting. Is there, and I'm sure it could be across the board, are there any, like, what kind of things have you dealt with in terms of, you said more small businesses than big businesses or?
So I've handled over 3,500 trademark applications in my career.
Wow.
And that's, over spanning 100 plus countries, because it's not just, and that's me interfacing with corporate, foreign counsel in that jurisdiction. I can't file trademarks there, but I liaison with the business owner to make sure that, we're facilitating those filings wherever they need them and wherever they're operating. But it really, the trademark process, I am not industry specific because the registration process, they call it prosecution, is really about advising, searching, clearing the marks that you're going to potentially use, and then going through the application process. So my clients varied from, you're a small business owner, but we had, some very large portfolios that we managed that spanned, the world. And that was really fun and educational. And now I primarily do the more on the small business side, but those are the people that actually have have the most issues because they don't know the rules about what you can and cannot use in terms of the name of your business and how it can get you into trouble. So that's a lot of what I do with the materials that I put out, like on my social media and things. It's like educating them on the basics so that they don't find themselves, you know, creating a brand that someone else has and then getting a cease and desist letter or something like that.
So interesting, because I know just like the searching of that kind of stuff is exhausting, I think, for a lay person, because I've done that before with some of the things that I've like worked on, or, you know, and I have a few things where I'm kind of in that next step of what do I do. So like there are, and I know you said small businesses, but I know from like my little realm, there's so many moms that are like, you know, these days writing blogs, books, creating their own products they're selling. Like, what kind of things do you think they need to know when they're doing it, you know, themselves from their home or in terms of protecting what they're doing?
That's a great question. A few things come to mind in terms of where I see, you know, sort of like your side hustle or your creative selling things on Etsy, that kind of thing, that come up. One, you cannot, copyright infringement is a real thing. When it comes to using the logos and the photos and the, you know, look and feel of like Disney characters or Marvel characters, that kind of stuff, like that is just a recipe to get into trouble. So stay away from that. Disney is watching. They will shut your page down. They will come after you.
Oh, so, that
is something that, you know, people dabble in because it's popular, right? Like even right. you follow the celebrity, you do, you know, maybe you're putting their picture on a mug or whatever, but that is that celebrity or character's image and likeness. And to use it is a violation of their copyright or potentially trademark, depending on what they've got, you know, protected. So I would say that's one where you can easily avoid issues if you just, you know, kind of stay out of that space. And it's not to say that you can't take inspiration from something, but if everyone knows this Mickey Mouse ears, like, just don't do it.
yeah, I would definitely not the Mickey Mouse.
Don't do it. And then, you know, in terms of the platforms themselves, the reality is we live in a digital age, right? So enabling yourself to have tools that allow you to like prevent third parties from infringing on your brand, depending on what that is. Like if you have an Etsy shop or an Amazon store that's called something specific and you gain some traction and there's another shop that comes along that's the same name and causing confusion, well, you know, you would be able to make that shop stop by having a federally registered trademark. And you won't be able to do that if you haven't taken the steps to protect the name of your store, or at least just be aware. So there's some tools there in terms of business, but also I would say just reading the agreements that you're signing. I know that's so basic, but I see it so often where we don't pay attention to the terms of something, and then you end up, you know, in a deal that you didn't expect, or, you know, with a subscription to something that you can't end, or that kind of thing.
Right. That happens a lot. So back to the creating products and stuff. So what if someone takes, what if you haven't gone to the links, like you said, and you create something and you said, so someone, if someone goes and just steals your idea and does it, there's nothing you can do, right? Because
it's not that there's nothing you can do necessarily, because by nature of you creating it or using like something like a trademark in commerce, you have what they call like common law rights to it. potentially. What that doesn't afford you is statutory damages or the ability to have protection in all 50 states. So it just makes it much more challenging from an enforcement standpoint, and you can't take immediate action with something like a takedown on a digital platform. You would have to find their entity, figure out who their registered agent is, send them a notice. And you're talking, you know, period of weeks potentially where you're missing out on sales, you're missing out on, you know, whatever the impact to you is, then you're just at the whim of their response to it, unless they, you know, you're willing to go the extra mile and actually file a lawsuit, which when you're dealing with something, you know, in its infancy phase is probably not worth it. But whereas if you would have just invested a little bit on the front end, you would have been able to do that immediately.
And is that a big process? So say someone does have some sort of product or book or something, is it a pretty simple process? And are they able to work with you no matter where they are if they just said, you know, had something they want to put out there and sell and they want to protect it?
Yeah. So the intellect, you know, registering a product or service name would be a trademark. And that process, the federal government is very slow. But it typically takes around 12 to 18 months now.
So, oh my gosh.
Yeah, I know. But, you know, it's also from the moment you file, you are asserting your rights in a federal government database, right? Like that is a record. So you're reserving your place in line while that application is pending. So you're also, you know, basically putting a placeholder for third parties. And by nature of filing it, you're putting them on notice that you exist.
Gotcha. Okay. So at least you're starting the process.
Correct.
Of hopefully having it.
Correct. And that is public as part of the process. It's quote unquote published in what they call the Official Gazette. And third parties have the ability to object to it for a period of 30 days. And if no one objects, then you get to go forward and you have your registration. But if you don't ever get your place in line, then, you know, you don't get the benefit of that application date.
And you said that's a trademark. So what would be the difference with a copyright? Because you said that's the other thing you do, right? You said trademarks and copyrights.
Correct. So copyrights are more for your creative works. So if you are, you know, taking photos or you're designing artwork or writing a novel, those are, you know, they're creative works that are fixed. Creative works that are put into a tangible medium. So if you think like your movies and all of that, you've got the copyright notice on the front. It's because somebody could copy it. So what you're giving, you know, someone the ability to do is have the right to copy that work. But if you get one by nature of creating something, you have a copyright. What a registration does for you is it allows you the benefit of having statutory damages in the event someone infringes on your copyright. So that the damages for that range from $750 to $30,000 per infringement. So that it's a very wide range. But for your photographers, for your designers, for people that are creating things and don't have assurance that those are going to be, you know, paid for, or you know, it can be a very helpful tool to register them if you ever get into a dispute with somebody.
Gotcha. So you could say I had this copyright, I developed it first, but you couldn't get any damages.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
So maybe you could get them to stop using it, but maybe you wouldn't get anything from it, kind of thing.
Correct.
Okay. That makes sense, because I was wondering the difference between that, because I did read. So that's a good distinction. And when it comes to the intellectual, you said you can work with anyone anywhere, is what you said?
That's right. Yeah. So because these are protections that are based in federal law, I can work with clients in all 50 states on these types of trademarks and copyrights.
Okay, so that's good. I didn't really understand that either. And then on the other things, because you do outside of intellectual, you do some estate planning as well. Is that right? Or what else?
So with my corporate background, I serve as a fractional sort of general counsel for businesses. So those are businesses, they would need to be located in Texas or Florida. So that's where I'm licensed. But I really just partner alongside people that are starting up. I can review contracts. I can help you decide what type of entity is appropriate. I do mergers and acquisitions due diligence. So that's how I partner, like, with the businesses. And the estate planning comes in on succession planning with the business, but it's also gravitated to, like, you know, helping people with their basic estate planning. And, you know, I started with my family and myself, and I'm helping my business owners sort of ensure that they have those discussions about business succession when it comes to inheriting the business, or having a buy sell agreement at the conclusion of a business deal. But for your everyday people, estate planning is sort of your wills and trusts, and I can assist if they're located in Texas or Florida.
Okay, are there some basics if there's people, because it's interesting you say that, because we had done some of this in the last few years, but in talking to people, there's so many that have not done this. So what would be...
Absolutely.
I know. It's because life, right? Like, life just keeps going. But what would be some of your, most important things to tell someone that hasn't done any of that and has kids, of what they should, like, be asking for? Or obviously, if they're in Florida or Texas, they could reach out to you.
Yeah.
But what are some things they should know?
So, and this sounds super morbid, but everyone is going to die. You are not going to escape it by avoiding it. It's like whether you want to plan now or you want your kids to have to deal with it later. And especially if you have minor children, if you don't decide things like guardianship or, put those protections in place and those wishes down on paper, the state is going to decide for you.
Yep.
And they might not decide what you would have decided. I mean, there's a lot of blended families. There's a lot of, very unique family dynamics in the 21st century. You know, we are, you're not necessarily going to want your, grandmother to raise your kids, or your mom even, whatever the situation is, if you have any dynamic like that where you have strong feelings about who you would want to influence your children and be their caregiver, then you need to express that. And that's your, responsibility to do that for your kids. And I would say, that's the, from a just basic estate planning, from a mom perspective, people care about who would raise their kids in the event something that happened to them.
Absolutely.
And so you just want to put that down on paper and make sure that you know that you've expressed that, and then that's documented somewhere.
And the good thing, if I'm, you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. So I was in the other shoes of having to help multiple of our parents do this later in life that hadn't done it. And I get it. They didn't want to go talk about it, go down the road. But when we did it, this was years ago, the attorneys that we dealt with, like, they walked them through the process. Like they said to them, like they had the questions, what do you want for this? And it was just certain questions and they really just answered them. And it was like a weight lifted off when they finally did it. But as the kid, I was like, I realized right then, I was like, I don't want my kids to do this for me. I want all of this to be done so they can just like, it's because these are big questions, but just answering them.
It's actually a gift for them.
Yes, yes,
it actually is a gift. And not just on the, okay, who's going to take care of my kids, but for you to be able to put down on paper, there's several documents that you get in any sort of estate plan. And some of them are like medical directives and a living will. And those are things like if something were to happen where you're still alive, but you're incapacitated, you're able to sort of say, okay, this is where I want you to intervene. This is what I want in the event that I'm in this state. And if you've never talked about that, having that documented to give your kids guidance would, I think, just be so helpful when you're in a situation where a parent is maybe incapacitated or sick or something happens that is unexpected, or, you know, heart attacks is the number one form of mortality for women. And it's actually higher than breast cancer, but it's just, there's a lot that can happen. Nobody is going to run from it. And if you want to have a say, then put it in your plan for the year, you know?
Exactly. I agree. And just give someone a call, whether it's you, if you're in Florida or Texas, or find someone else and just start the process. It is, I feel like, something that makes parents feel much better at ease. Cause like you said, all of your things, you just want all of that to be easy for them if something did.
Right. And you know, we call it a peace of mind, like planning session. It is, it's just something that, to have the piece of paper, it's like an insurance policy, right? Like you hope you never need it, but it's there. And,
that's how I felt about it. I was like, absolutely. If we do it, we're never going to need it. So let's just do it. Kind of like taking your umbrella with you. You take your umbrella, it doesn't rain. So let me ask you then too, because I know that you have a family and you have a couple of little ones running around. So that's the other thing. As a mom, I'd love to shift into that arena of, do you have any tips to, you know, so many moms trying to juggle maybe starting something on their own or even just a part-time gig or who knows what? Do you have any tips on that end of it as to how you're juggling it or what's helped you juggle it?
Yeah. I don't know if I do it very well, frankly, but we all push ahead, right?
I think let's first say that I think we all feel that way because it's a juggle, right? You don't want it any other way, but it's a juggle. So,
and you know, I think it's going to be the reality, excuse me, for my kids too. Like they're going to have to make these decisions. It's going to be very difficult for a family to be able to support itself on a single income in the future.
Right. I mean,
it's just, so this idea of, you know, so I'll just go back. I have two daughters, a 7, 6, and I have a son who's 2. So when I do this sort of work and career things, I do think about them and the example that I'm setting as I do it, because if I can do it in a healthy way, hopefully it gives them a roadmap on how to do it or don't do it like mom. You know, don't do it like mom. One way or the other, they're learning something, right?
Right,
it'll be my fault. But the
no.
But it has been a challenge. You know, those infant years are tough. And it's like, I don't care how super mom you are. You are physically, emotionally, hormonally, like it is just a whirlwind. Like my husband and I look back now and I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know how we did it. We were literally putting two kids in daycare from 7:30 to 7:30. Like it was not pretty for parts of it. Now, the further I got in my career, the more I was empowered to like delegate and get, I paid for time. You know, I paid for my time back. I would have a laundry service and I got a cleaning person. It's like, those are the ways that I fought for more quality time as I advanced in my career. And I also right. just like stopped doing stuff. Like, okay, the dishes are going to sit in the sink. It's fine. I don't have the bandwidth to do it today.
Like, yeah.
And sometimes you just gotta do it. And I've nothing's wrong with that. And this Instagram unrealistic expectation of moms juggling all the things. Like, I have a very supportive husband. He is in it with me. Like, don't put that burden on yourself. Like, absolutely not. Get somebody who is helpful and who can handle it with you. Because you are doing a lot. You are doing a lot. And even if you're staying at home and you're raising your kids, you're working. Like, you are. But if you're ready to like dive back in and create something for yourself, just giving yourself permission to do it and try and carving that time out to try something new. And, you know, some of my sisters have been through that themselves. You know, they were raising kids for a while, they stayed at home, and then they went back to the workforce. And it's hard to do. I think as a society, we need to make more time and carve out more opportunities for our mothers who are like re-entering the workforce.
But absolutely.
That's sort of a whole other discussion.
But I do like the two things that you pointed out. First of all, that you're an example for them, whether showing them that they can do anything they want. They could chase a side hustle. They could work if they want. They could not. Whatever it is, like showing them the example that you can do both. Because every one of us is walking a different path. And secondly, giving yourself permission. Giving yourself permission to go after something if you want, start something if you want, or not, but it's all okay. So I like those two things, like being an example and giving yourself permission. Because a lot of times we're sitting around waiting for someone to give us a permission, and it's okay to give yourself permission.
And I think this year in particular, when with my kids like sort of entering school, you know, I'm not going to be like the other moms, but they're also not like me, and like I still value all the other women in my, you know, that are impacting my daughter's classmates and the other school moms. But like, my kids sometimes ask me like, why do you have to go to work? And it's like, well, because mommy does. And just being comfortable walking your own path, like, it's okay. And I feel like that in this stage of like all the moms are going to all the things. It's just an unrealistic expectation. Like, so just don't hold yourself, just do you, and you'll be okay. And you're giving a very good lesson, even if you're not outwardly saying it.
I agree. And I do like the do you, because I think I've been in all the roles where I, and you probably even remember when my kids were little, we had a business outside of my home. So I was there all the time. And I remember people questioning me for being gone all the time. And then I remember when I sold it, I was home a lot. So then there was that questioning why, like, I was doing nothing. And then I started part-time. So no matter how you're walking it, be okay with how you're walking it, because no matter what anyone says out there, yes, it's your walk. Exactly. So do you have certain things that you do for your own health or your own sanity, self-care? Do you have things that are like you try or non-negotiable or?
Oh man. So everything's negotiable with a 2-year-old, I feel like, you know.
Yes, you're right. You're right.
So as much as I used to like have my morning routine, it is something that I desperately want back, but I haven't gotten there yet. And that's okay. I'm giving myself grace on that. So so right now my husband and I have implemented like a lunch date, which I really like.
Oh, that's nice.
Because we both, you know, it's just hard to fit it in You know, you got your mornings are hectic, your evenings are hectic, your weekends are hectic. So since we both work outside the house during the week, we try and have a lunch. And it's actually nice to like not have the kids around and have it be like a grown-up hour and a half or whatever.
Absolutely.
So that's something that we've started. And then I also... I have an au pair, so I realize that's like a super, not a lot of people are maybe familiar, but she lives with us. And that is something that I like invested in for my family because I wanted, another set of hands to be like around and help me and offset some of these things that I don't necessarily need to do.
Right.
I don't need to do the laundry for my kids. It's not a labor of love for me. It doesn't mean that I'm a bad mom because I don't do the laundry.
And not at all.
You know, and I'll do my own, but she does the laundry. She packs our lunches and she does those invisible tasks that seem to always flow to the moms. I hired somebody to do them and it's been wonderful.
That's great though. I think that is a great tip.
Because you know who they would fall on in most circumstances. Like
absolutely. Yeah,
you know, we're still in that space, even if it was never discussed. It's just you would do it. So I really, you know, same thing in my business. If it's not the highest and best use of my time, I'm gonna find as soon as I'm able to, like, I'm going to start to delegate it so that I can have more freedom as I go. So that's been a really, I mean, she's like a member of our family. Don't get me wrong, but it's like the assurance that those tasks are getting done and getting done well, and it doesn't have to be me. It's still me delegating it and making sure it gets done. But it's not me physically having to execute.
But I love that side of self-care because to me, taking care of your health sanity is like, there's so many different avenues of it. It's not just working out, morning routine or whatever. It is having lunch with your spouse or, you know, delegating a thing. And every season of life is different. And with you, with the littles, I remember I paid someone just to come clean my bathrooms. I'm like, I hate cleaning bathrooms and I'm not spending my time doing that. And when that person was around, I made sure I was accomplishing something else, even if it was just spending time with my kids. And that's the juggle of life is that I love, you know, giving out something to someone else that is not doesn't bring you the best like happiness or joy. Cause those are good, ways to do it really.
Right. And so, and if that means I can go and spend the weekend with my kids without worrying about work because I was able to stay 2 hours at the office where I would have otherwise had to come back and do laundry or pack lunches, like that's great.
And that's huge. Yes.
Huge.
I like that. And that's so interesting because I did have a client that had an au pair once. And that's a whole nother avenue. I'm sure people that had interest in that. But finding someone that fits with your family, becomes part of your family, and is another person for your kids and to help you do those tasks. I think it's great.
Yeah.
So a big part of your business and side hustle, because I do follow you on Instagram. Is there other places, because you do, and I'll let you tell this in your own words, because I know you do some webinars and you put out some great information. But maybe you can tell a little bit about that so that people, first of all, where can they find you on there and what do you have maybe upcoming or what are the webinars you're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. So since I launched my firm, I wanted to focus on sort of education and resources so that we can be more preventative about legal as opposed to reactive, which is the challenge for a lot of small business owners, right? So to do that, I do a monthly webinar. I've got a few topics that I touch on. One is the Basics of Business Blueprint. So that covers like your basic entity formation for limiting personal liability and risk mitigation as you decide like what kind of entity to form depending on what business type you have. I go through the basic contract types for not only like customers but also your vendors or suppliers, as well as sort of your partnership agreements if you're in business with someone else, and what to sort of watch out for as you're entering into relationships with other people. And then I touch on the basics of the intellectual property. So we go through sort of your basic patents, trademarks, copyrights, and trade secrets. So that's a really good one if you just want an overview of what you should be aware of as you start your side hustle. I would start with that. I also have a more intense webinar related to trademarks specifically. That's sort of my wheelhouse and where I spent a lot of my time in private practice. So diving into that and sort of the nitty gritty, it gets more technical. But if you are creating products and services that have very unique names, or you're trying to decide on a name, it's very educational from that standpoint. And then the third type of webinar I did is on the estate planning side. So just really your basic estate planning foundational elements, what to be aware of, why it's important, what the basic documents would be part of an average estate plan, and then like what happens if you don't have an estate plan, so that you're aware what your documents are actually doing for you. So that's the three types. I do them monthly. In March, actually, I should have had this date before we got on our phone call, but I will follow up with you on the date for March. But I do one monthly, and then I also have a newsletter that I put out, which has links to all the resources and blogs that I put out for both estate planning, but also the small business ventures. So a lot of just content focused on education, focused on, what to watch out for, any new or up and coming laws, is really where I'm trying to provide, value on those social media platforms.
Which is such good information. Can you tell, how could someone get on? So I'm going to find you on there too.
Absolutely.
And the webinars, your past webinars, can people watch those, or are those over, only future ones?
I think they are on YouTube, actually, if people would like to, to watch them. And there are, I can also send the link to you, Kelly, if you want to.
That's great. I'll put it in the show notes so they can go back and watch them if they're interested, for sure. Okay, that's great information, because like I said, I don't know if I said in the beginning, but I follow you on Instagram, and I'll follow the others too. But even on there, you give great information, which is wonderful, because I think people need it. And sometimes it's just intimidating to like approach someone or find the right person or even find someone that you trust to help you with these things. That's how I always felt in the past. I wasn't sure without someone giving me a recommendation.
Absolutely.
So all of that was so wonderful, but I also really appreciate you giving the background and everything about what helps you find sanity and giving yourself grace in this season and walking your own path. All of that is what all of us moms need to hear. I feel like no matter where we are or what season we're in. So thank you so much, Melissa, for giving all of us your time today.
Thank you for having me. This was fun. Thanks,
yes,
Kelly.
Great. I appreciate you sharing this time with me today. I am grateful you are here. And if you have anyone that you feel could also benefit from this encouragement, please share it with them today. You can also add a quick review on iTunes, which would mean the world to me and help me just to make this better for each and every one of you out there. I will be here each week, so please be sure to subscribe to the podcast or join me at kellyrenato.com to get the latest episode and more tools to help you on your journey to feel your best
and enjoy every single day exactly where you are. I would love to have you join my journey, and let's all add good, healthy vibes anywhere we can every single day. Enjoy your week and embrace the season you're in, and I look forward to next week. Take care. Bye-bye.